Good morning. Once again, I have the privilege of welcoming Dave Keister to this platform. He's a friend of WLBC, a faithful servant, and teacher. Please give him your attention as he shares with us from God's Word this morning.
Morning, everyone. Well, once again, I know I say this every time. It really is a joy to be with you guys this week. With Pastor Carlson out of town visiting family, we always look forward to it. We're thankful to be here. Let's go ahead and start in a brief word of prayer, can we? Lord, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we come here to worship you. Lord, may you be glorified in our lives, in your church, in this service. Through our songs and our singing and our prayers and this message, Lord, we pray you would be glorified above all. We ask this in your name this morning. Amen. Well, if you would, turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 this morning. And as you do that, you guys may have figured this out already by now. I've been here several times, but for the most part, I've kind of made a habit of just preparing a message on something that I need to hear and just sharing it with you guys. And so today, as we talk a little bit about worry, that's the topic of this message. I don't want this to come across as something that I'm mastered, and I'm going to share how I've mastered this with you guys. I'm sharing this as something that I genuinely struggle with. I really do. And so please hear this message as we're going to work through this together. I'm sure we all struggle a little bit with worry. And together, we're going to look at what God has to say about worry here this morning. So let me start with this. What are you worried about? I'll just let that sink in a little bit. What are you worried about? Those are actually my wife's words to me. Not so long ago as we tried to fall asleep at night. She's one of those people, my wife Lindsay, is one of those people who she has the gift of head hits the pillow, out. Cold for the night. Are there any people like that here? Does anybody else have that gift? Okay, I see at least one. That lets me know maybe a lot of the rest of you do not have that gift and you're more like me. I'm exactly the opposite. When I lay down in bed at night, no exaggeration, at least an hour, I have to let my mind wind down. I have all my best thoughts at night. I have all my worst thoughts at night too. It takes me about an hour to wind down. The trouble is, when Lindsay's is fast asleep and I'm laying there beside her in the bed and my mind starts to go towards worry, I have this little thing that I do and I don't even know I'm doing it. My foot starts going like this. I am not conscious of it in the least. She is, because apparently she tells me it shakes the whole bed. So it is at that point that she rolls over from her slumber and says, "What are you worried about?" So I struggle with it too. You know, I think for a lot of us, myself included, if we're not careful, worry can become a way of life. A daily way of life. You know, last year, my brother-in-law showed me a t-shirt, okay? And it kind of poked fun at worry as a way of life. And I actually thought it was a pretty good t-shirt. It said, "Today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday." I had to think about that for a second. Today's the tomorrow I worried about yesterday. But it is. I worry about all sorts of things that never happen. And so, if you're with me in that, let me just encourage you today. There's a lot of us in the same boat. Let me give you some examples just real quick of worry. These are examples of worry. Not that I haven't looked them up on the internet. I haven't thought them up in my own mind. These are real examples from real conversations I've had just recently. Listen to this. I'm going in for tests this week. Pray for me. If it doesn't stop raining soon, there might not be any soybeans left to harvest. I get scared every time I put the kids in the car. What if I have a wreck? And this morning you could probably add, and it's snowing, right? Maybe we're worried about driving in the snow this morning. Here's another worry from a recent conversation. The holidays are coming up. It's supposed to be the most wonderful time of year, but I'm not sure how I'm going to make it through. Here's another one. I feel like I'm caught right in the middle of this family situation. What do I do? You know, there's a lot of things to worry about. Real things. Hard things. And today we want to see what some things that God tells us about worry in Philippians chapter 4. Now, before we read the passage, just for some real brief context here, Philippians is a wonderful book, and Joyce did a good job of already giving us a little context. That's cool how that worked out. Through the book of Philippians, Paul has been encouraging believers in the town of Philippi to live their lives in glory to Christ for what he's done. He's been encouraging them to live their lives in a way that's worthy of the gospel. The gospel is central throughout all of Philippians, and he's telling the believers, look, because of what Christ has done for us, live your life in a manner that's worthy of what he's done in glory to him. And as you do that, one of the ways that he's instructing us to live our lives worthy of the gospel and what God has done is to not worry. It's interesting to think of it in that context, in light of everything that Christ has done and his sacrifice on the cross for us. One way that we worship him is by not worrying. Okay? So with that, let's kind of cut into Philippians here, chapter 4. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 6. And we'll read Philippians 4, 6 to 9 together. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any moral excellence, and if there is any praise, dwell on these things. Do what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. So let's look at that first phrase in verse 6. Now, Paul tells us, don't worry about anything. If you're like me, is that a tall task or what? Easy to say, a lot harder to do. And I'm thankful that Paul didn't just leave it there. He didn't just tell us, hey, don't worry. Did you know there's something we can do instead? He doesn't just say, don't worry. He says, don't worry about anything but. And I love that word but, because it gives us something we can do as opposed to sitting there worried, okay? Don't worry about anything, but through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He's giving us something to replace worry. And we see right there what it is, right? It's prayer. You can replace worry by letting your requests be made known to God. We can pray. That's it? Just pray? Maybe some of you are sitting there thinking, that's what you got for us this morning, really? I mean, I doubt I surprised anybody by offering prayer as a remedy for worry. We know that. You ever feel like that? Oh, just pray. Okay. All right. But I want to focus in on that prayer for a little bit. Because I think if you're like me, sometimes the things that are most familiar to you, if I'm sitting where you're at right now, I'm starting to glaze over. Oh yeah, prayer. Okay. Okay. Thanks, Dave. Thanks for that. Sometimes the things that are most familiar are the most easily overlooked. This is important. I know I struggle with worry. Paul's telling me that prayer is the answer. So what is it about prayer that helps us with worry? Well, in doing some research for this message about prayer, I thought, I'm not going to read commentary. I'm going to go straight to the experts. Okay? I went straight to the strongest prayer warrior that I know. I did a kind of an informal personal interview. I went to the strongest prayer warrior I know. Does anybody know Tad Zalman? I think some of you probably know him. I think he's been here a time or two. I think you guys might even support him, right? If anybody knows Tad, the first thing that comes to your mind, if you know Tad well, is he's a man of prayer. And I said, Tad, I caught him at church. He was going out. I said, hey, Tad, come over here. I need some thoughts on prayer. I said, give me the best thoughts that you have on prayer. And you know what? His answer really surprised me. You know what he said? He said, Dave, the key to prayer, and I'm on pins and needles, I'm like leaning forward. This is going to be good. This is going to be profound. He said, the key to prayer is that you actually have to do it. Really? But as I thought about that, isn't that so true? I mean, we hear messages about praying. I hear songs about praying. I tell people I'm going to pray for them. I can even think about praying, but do I actually do it? I felt a little convicted there. I probably even think about it sometimes more than I actually do it, more than I talk to God. And what I mean by that is we know it's important, but is it our first option? Is prayer your first option or your last resort? Does that make sense? I mean, I think my tendency sometimes is to say, yeah, prayer is of utmost importance. And then I go and do every possible thing that I can to remedy the situation. And if everything I have to do and say and think doesn't work, then, all right, it's time to pray. Right? And when somebody comes to us, or maybe somebody comes to you and says, all we can do now is pray. Are you like me? And the first thing, honestly, that comes into my mind is, oh, have things really gotten that bad? Have things really gotten that bad that all we can do is, but this is horrible. This is horrible. Does that make sense? That's the truth. Is prayer our first option? Is it my first option? Or is it our last resort? Okay. And sometimes I was thinking, why don't I? Why don't I pray more when I'm worried? Listen to this. This is from an audiobook by one of my favorite pastors. He said, sometimes we don't pray because we have an improper view of what it is. Listen to what he had to say about prayer. He said, this is really important. Prayer is not trying to overcome God's reluctance to help us. Prayer is laying hold of His greatest willingness. I'm going to say that one more time. Prayer is not trying to overcome God's reluctance to help us. It is laying hold of His greatest willingness. Now, I'm not saying you're going to get everything you want when you pray. But in context here, When Paul tells us not to worry, but let our requests be made known to God, look what happens next in verse 7. As you do that, as you pray, the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He is ready and He's willing to give us His peace as we come to Him in prayer. He's not reluctant. He wants to help us and He will. So as we talk about prayer in relationship to worry, let me give you a brief illustration that helps me. When I was little, probably 5 years old to 8 years old, I was terrified of the utility room in our basement. And I mean out of my mind terrified of it. It's a hard thing when you're a child and the scariest place on earth is in your own home. That utility room was back this long, narrow, dark hallway. No light, no windows. And you would turn right at the end of the hallway and go into this utility room that was about 10 by 12. And man, that was a scary place. My mom would send me down to the utility room in the middle of the day at high noon for a jar of green beans or peaches, whatever it may be. I would run down, grab the jar, and I would run back out, not turning around, so nothing could come out of that utility room and get me while I had the jar. And that was at high noon. But at night, it got worse. I mean this sincerely. This is not one bit of exaggeration. I would lay in bed, and I would worry about that room. Maybe some of you have been there. And our house had the normal creaks and groans, and my mind would manufacture those normal creaks and groans of the house into footsteps that were coming up the stairs because something had just walked out of that utility room and it was coming up to get me. I would run across the hall, often crying, screaming, and I would go into my parents' room and I'd grab my dad by the arm and I'd wake him up to save me from whatever was coming up from the basement out of the utility room. And my dad was so gracious. He was so gracious to me. I can't recount the number of times my dad would get up with me, middle of the night, in his underwear, having to leave for work at 5 o'clock the next morning. And he takes my hand in the middle of the night, walks me down to the basement, holding my hand, walks me back into that dark hallway, into the utility room, in the middle of the night, you know what he does? He flips on the light. And he says, "Dave, let me give you a tour. We've been through this before. I know you're terrified of this room. Those are just the jars of green beans. Those are just the jars of peaches. Those are just the salmon fishing rods hanging along the rafters. I know you're worried. But let me tell you, there's nothing here that I have not placed here." You know, prayer's kind of like that. When we refuse to pray, it's like laying there in bed, listening to the footsteps, and worrying, and absolutely refusing to go across the hall to the one person who can take all that worry and all that darkness and flip on the light and say, "You know, I know you're worried about this, but let's flip on the light and see some truth down here." That's what prayer is. When you're worried, do it. Come to God in prayer. Okay? Listen to this verse from Psalm 61, verses 1 and 2. "God, hear my cry. Pay attention to my prayer. I call to you from the ends of the earth when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is high above me." When your heart's overwhelmed, run across the hall to your Father and pray. as we combat worry, we pray because he's willing and he's ready to help as we come to him. Well, let's go on. Notice in verse 6 that Paul doesn't just tell us to pray to let our requests be made known to God. He doesn't just tell us what to do. He tells us how to go about doing it. Look at that. We are to come through prayer and petition with thanksgiving. And this one was a little tough for me. I had to think about this one a lot because I know that that's important. Because the attitude of the prayer that God grants his peace to is thanksgiving. Now, what does thanksgiving have to do with worry? What does thanksgiving have to do with the peace of God? And I was just thinking through that, looking up some verses. I want to share this with you. Okay, this helped me. Hopefully it helps you. Maybe not. A couple of years ago, I was at my grandma's house, my grandma Brown. She lived south of Huntington. She loved HGTV, okay? Whenever you went down there, HGTV was on. I went down there once. It was around Thanksgiving. She had HGTV on. They were having a special, okay? They had invited stars of different HGTV shows, okay, to all sit around a Thanksgiving table, and they were going to take turns expressing to each other what they were thankful for. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, let me preface this by saying, I'm not saying HGTV is evil. Okay. My grandma would not like it if I said that. HGTV is not evil. But what I want to share with you guys is as those stars went around the table and expressed what they were thankful for, I don't know if they intended it this way, but I never heard a one of them give a name of anyone who they were thankful to. Okay? So the way it came across, and I'm not saying they meant it this way, but the way it came across is their thanksgiving just became a list of their accomplishments. I'm thankful that I have this, 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 and this. I've done this, 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 and this. There was no one listed to receive that thanksgiving. So I was thinking about the difference between being thankful for something and being thankful to someone. One of my favorite speakers, Michael Ramsden, I heard him say once, our problem with ingratitude in America is not that we have nothing to be thankful for, it's that we have no one to be thankful to. Our problem with ingratitude in America is that we have is not that we don't have anything to be thankful for, it's that we have no one to be thankful to. So let me show you how I think this works in relation to worry. Look, if I have no one to be thankful to, as we think through this together, if I'm the creator of all things bright and beautiful in my life, if I'm responsible for every good and perfect thing that I enjoy, of course, I'm going to feel the weight and the pressure and the anxiety of me trying to keep everything exactly the way I want it. Does that make sense? But here's what I love about gratitude and why I think it's so important as we battle worry. Gratitude, okay, properly places me in my relationship to God. Gratitude properly places me in my relationship to God. What that means is, in thankfulness, okay, we don't see ourselves as creator of our own blessing. In thankfulness, we see ourselves as the undeserving receivers of His blessing. Thankfulness is the thing that moves us away from self-reliance. Okay? I did this, I need this. I need to keep it this way. Gratitude moves us away from self-reliance toward dependence on God. He did this. He gave me this. He sustains me. He'll supply all my needs in Christ Jesus. As we move away from self-reliance to dependence on God and gratitude, that's what gratitude does. All of a sudden, can that not help with worry? Of acknowledging Him as the giver, Him as the one who knows what I need, acknowledging my dependence on that, and as I do that, He guards my heart with His peace. That's what thankfulness does. Psalm 50:23, the one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. To the one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God. Thankfulness combats worry. Are you worried? Pray. Let your request be made known to God instead, and pray with thanksgiving. Not in self-reliance, but in dependence on Him. Okay? All right, let's go on a little bit. Let me read verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any moral excellence, if there's any praise, dwell on these things. So my question is, as I'm laying there in bed worrying and shaking my foot, what am I dwelling on? What are we dwelling on when we're worried? Is it the good and the true, the character of God there? Or is it me? Or is it my problems? What are we dwelling on? We had a dog named Chloe a few years back. Chloe was half golden retriever. She was half golden lab. Beautiful dog, big dog, great with the kids. One day, one of my relatives stopped by. He had a gift for Chloe. They had a bone about this big. Someone had butchered a cow, taken one of the leg bones. I'm not sure which one that is. Maybe some of you can help me out with that, but it was a big one. Chloe's a big dog. She could barely drag the thing around. So Chloe took the bone, and she chewed on it all afternoon. She chewed on that bone all evening. And when it came time for bed, Chloe customarily came in the house every time without fail. She was terrified of coyotes, thought they were going to eat her, so she came in. Okay? Not tonight. She laid there in the yard, in the dark, chewing on the bone instead of coming in. Okay? We thought, this is ridiculous. So we grabbed her by the collar and brought Chloe inside. We went to sleep. We thought Chloe went to sleep. It wasn't long before Chloe woke Lindsay up. Lindsay's face was on the edge of the bed, and we wake up with Chloe 2 inches from Lindsay's face, just whining and carrying on. She wanted to go outside with the bone. Okay? Well, this is ridiculous. But so we wanted to get some sleep, so we put Chloe out. And Chloe spent that whole night out in the yard, sleepless, I assume, I don't know, guarding the bone. Over the next couple days, it was humorous to watch Chloe drag the bone past the window heading south to bury it. 2 hours later, we'd see Chloe dragging the bone past the window heading north to rebury it. It was too big to really bury well. A few hours later, we'd see Chloe outside dragging the bone into the woods to bury it in leaves, because apparently that was easier than burying it in the dirt. But because it wasn't buried very well, right, a couple minutes later, there would go Chloe dragging the bone back south across the yard to rebury it. Finally, we had to take the bone away from Chloe, put it in a garbage bag, and throw it away before it ruined her life and our entire yard. Okay? You know what? Worries like that. What keeps you up all night? What do you chew on all night? What do you drag around all day? What do you bury just to dig it up again a few minutes later. Worry can be like that bone. A lot like that bone. It can be all-consuming. Worry's like that bone in the sense of what do you dwell on continually? It's all Chloe could think about for days. Just that one thing, that bone. Worry's like that. And Paul's telling us, instead of dwelling on, chewing on that worry, you know what you can do instead? You can dwell on God. And all those wonderful things in that verse, we could make that an 8-part sermon, but we won't. What do you dwell on when you're worried? Listen to this. Isaiah 26:3, I love this verse. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Does perfect peace sound good to you? That sounds good to me. Fix your mind on the Lord, and He promises to give us perfect peace. And that leads us right into our last verse today. Look at verse 9. Do what you have learned and received and have heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. I think this is my favorite point of this whole passage here. It's also my last point from this verse. But I want to leave us all, myself included, with just this ingrained in our mind that the key to combat worry is the character of God. Did you see that? Did you catch that in that verse? The God of peace, as you do these things, the God of peace will be with you. Are you worried? Are you looking for peace? Well, He's the God of peace. Does that make sense? He is the God of peace. It's part of who He is. All peace is grounded in the character of God. He is the God of peace. He gives His peace to all who fix their thoughts on Him. He guards our hearts and our mind with His peace. Why? Because He is peace. That's what He's like. And He's ready. And He's willing to give us that peace as we pray to Him with thanksgiving. If you need peace, and as I think through this, if you need peace and you go to the God of peace, you've come to the right place. That's what He's like. That's who He is. As we start to move towards a close, let me just do a quick review. Today we addressed worry, something we all struggle with. Paul gave us some practical application here to deal with it. Is your heart overwhelmed? Run across the hall. Remember that illustration? Run across the hall to your Father. He never sleeps. Let your requests be made known to Him. Don't lay there in bed listening to the footsteps, for crying out loud. He's right across the hall. Go to your Father and pray. Are you tired of trying to do things all yourself and worry that you won't be up to the task? Pray to the Father with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the thing that moves us away from self-reliance. I did this. And towards dependence on God. He's the giver. He's ready and He's willing. And lastly, are you consumed with worry? Is it all-consuming to you? If it is, will you drop the bone? Quit chewing on it all night. Quit dragging it around all day. Drop it. Just drop it. And fix your thoughts on God who gives us perfect peace when we do that. Pray with thanksgiving. As you dwell on who He is, I want to just end with this verse. I love this thought about Him granting us His peace as we dwell on His character. As you dwell on who He is, may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I worry. We worry. Help us to pray to You instead. Help us to view You as our Father. Lord, give us a thankful heart with which to bring our requests to You. Help us to dwell on You and who You are. Help us today, Lord. Help us not to drag around that bone this week, God. Help us not to worry, but to fix our thoughts on You this week. And we ask all this in Your name. Amen.